This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott and I'm here with Lauren Denyer. How are you, Lauren?
I'm very well, thank you. Chris, how are you?
I'm very good. We're in the august buildings of WCT School in Bermondsey Street.
That's right, we're in Bermondsey Street.
Yeah, everything's changed since I've been here because it used to be all of WST Global plus the school.
That's right, yeah. So we had a couple of floors here and now we have all of them pretty much. So we're very happy. Lots and lots of classrooms. So we've kicked out WST Global and they're across the way, just down the road.
Excellent. We're going to talk a wee bit about the diploma course, but what's your role with regards to the diploma course? What do you do for WST School?
So at WSET School, I work on the diploma. So I'm on the diploma team with Russell Dent, who's the course director. I work with him and I teach, but I also create events and materials for the students. So my title is Events and Enrichment Manager for the diploma.
Lovely. What does that mean?
What does that mean? So we like to make sure that our students feel really confident and so that they feel that they've got enough learning opportunities, but so in the classroom and outside the classroom. So I create for those students extra revision materials, so practice papers for them to do in the run-up to the exams, for example. I put together the papers that they do in class as well. Also create tasting events for them, so they might be online or in class, and I have a whole area on the online classroom where they can see webinars that have been done around particular things that relate to the diploma.
Okay, what we'll do today is just do an introduction about the diploma, because it is a pretty gutsy course. It's been a while since I did it. I was one of those scenic versions where it took me about 4 years to get through it. But that was quite a while ago, and it's had a major revision.
That was around 2018, so it's been a while now. They revise it annually anyway, but they completely changed the structure of it a bit a while ago. But because of COVID, I think it's taken a while for people to get more involved. So what they did was they restructured the whole diploma so that you had everything in one place. And so before, you'd have references to the Oxford Companion to Wine and certain books on the reading lists that you had to read, really, in order to gain the information that you needed. But now they've consolidated it all into quite large volume of separate books for the different units. So you don't have to look anywhere else. But yeah, they did that, which that launched in 2018, but they do revise it every year because obviously things change very quickly.
Yeah, there was a big change in Sparkling recently as well.
Yeah, I mean, lots of different things happening in Sparkling. Yeah,
I know, because we finished a load of flashcards and then you released a load of changes, so it was back to the grindstone. And it was mainly just adding extra stuff, which was all right. Okay, so what type of students do the diploma?
Oh my goodness, well, they have to be quite dedicated to begin with. Have to have done level three, but we, from everywhere. I mean, we have students internationally, of course. WST Global is an international company. And at the school here as well, we have a lot of students from all over the world. But I think there's a misconception that you need to be in the trade to do the diploma. You absolutely do not. And we have quite a lot of people. I wouldn't say it's the majority, but we do have a fair amount of people who just do it because they're interested in wine. We do different formats at the school as well. So from my personal experience, I see more students who come in maybe in evenings and weekends probably aren't in the trade. And then our courses that run during the day, day release courses or block courses, we tend to get a lot of students that do work in the wine industry.
Yeah. I imagine. I've just done a WST Level 3 course in the evenings. We normally do them as one day a week because I prefer that format. And it took forever. It absolutely took forever. So I dread to think how long a diploma takes.
Yeah, I did mine in the evenings, actually. I remember it being about a year and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah, every Thursday with my glasses. Cool.
So you get people from the trade and also not any idea of the breakdown? Is it like?
Not really. It's hard to know because unless you kind of ask everyone individually, there's no area when we take details to find out. But, you know, anecdotally, I would suspect it's at least 15 to 20%.
Of non-trade.
Yeah. And also we find that a lot of people doing it have the aim to move into the trade. So it may be when you speak to them a couple of years after the diploma, that number actually increases.
Yeah, it's a pretty full-on course not to be involved in the industry.
Exactly.
Okay, I said I took the scenic route and did it over about 4 years. I did most of the course over 2 years, but then I had children being born and things went wrong, and you know how life gets in the way of these things. But how long does it normally take? And you mentioned doing it evenings. It took you a year and a half, but I always thought the course was a 2 year course anyway.
Well, it took a year and a half of dedication to coming in every Thursday, apart from in the holidays. But then beyond that were my exams and research, an independent research project. So, yeah, it took probably more like 2 years, two and a half, because I actually put off one of my exams. So I think on average, it takes most people around 2 years. I mean, you can speed it up, but I wouldn't necessarily advise that you do that, because often what that means is someone has finished a semester one and decided to jump straight into a semester two with the potential of overlapping, and that's not advisable. So if you spread it out, and the exams are generally spread out so that you've got some revision time, you know, from finishing the course online or in class and then doing the exam. So that kind of makes it maybe a little bit longer, but the amount of time maybe you need to be in class or actually studying might not be that full period of time. So I'd say, yeah, around 2 years, maybe 3 years is the kind of time you'd expect someone to complete it in. But there's no end point. So you can, I get students who started it 10 years ago, for some reason dropped out, and then they want to restart again. So,
oh, really?
Yeah.
So it used to have an end point. I was...
No, not anymore.
No, but it used to, because I was in a real flaff at the end, because I was down to my last year and I had to pass the exam on this one time, and that, otherwise I started again from scratch, which would not have been happy camper.
No, so there's none of those worries now. And even though it did change and we renamed the units, they still align with the previous one. So if you came to me and said, oh, I want to restart, but I did Sparkling and Fortified and something else back then if you passed Sparkling or Fortified, you've passed Sparkling and Fortified, so you could just come back and pick up on the ones that you didn't pass, or maybe you didn't even do classroom sessions or online sessions for. So it's quite flexible, actually.
What are the units?
So the units, so we've got D1. So D1 is wine production. So that is, you know, your viticulture, your vinification. D2 is wine business. D3 is the big one that everyone always gets worried about, which is the sort of light wines of the world. D4 is sparkling wine. D5 is fortified wine, and D6 is independent research project. So they're all weighted differently. Where it depends where you study. So some places you can study a unit at a time, and other places will put units together. So you can do like the whole course over a period of time, starting with D1 and usually ending with D3. But it depends where you study. We do that. That's one of the formats we do at WSET School London. We also semesterise, so we put D1, D2, D4 and D5 into one semester. So the wine production, wine business, sparkling and fortified in one semester. And then in our second semester, you do D3 and D6, because D3 is 50% of the course.
Yes.
So it makes sense to kind of it to have its own semester.
Two semesters. So you do it in what? 3/4 of a year.
I suppose, you know, that's what they call it. But yeah, a semester can last, depending on how you do it. If you do it once a week, a day a week, then it will probably take you a bit longer than if you do a few days in a block and then come back and do a few days in a block. So it just depends on the format, but it's usually a few months. But bear in mind that the exams will probably be afterwards, so you'll have some time in between to revise.
What are the weightings for the different things? So D1 production is...
So the weightings for them are, we've got for D1, it is 20% wine production. So 10% for D2. D2 is the business of wine, my business. D3 is the wines of the world, and that's the 50%. So, yeah, the big one. D4, 5%, a mere 5%. D5, so D4, sparkling wine. D5, fortified wines, also 5%. And D6, the research assignment, is 10%. Now, we used to have spirits. So anyone who was thinking about doing the diploma a few years ago, it would have been diploma in wine and spirits, but that's no longer part of the diploma. But if you did start it a while ago and you did spirits, you can still get that if you've already did it. But
oh, really?
Yeah. I was speaking to someone actually earlier who wanted to continue, and they still got the spirits part. But nowadays, if you want to do spirits, that's a separate qualification.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's fine. That's the one I did, was Diploma in Wine and Spirits. So that tells you a bit about when I did mine.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Okay. And in terms of that weighting, the weighting all about whether you get a merit and a distinction. Do you still get merits and distinctions?
Yeah, absolutely, yes. So you have to pass every unit. So even though 55% is our general pass mark rate for everything, you have to pass every single unit. So you can't just say, oh, do you know what, I'm not going to pass Sparkling or Fortified. I'll be fine if I do well in the others. So you do have to do every single unit. You have to pass. To pass, you need 55%. And so, yeah, 55% is a pass. If you get 65% and above, it's merit. 75% and above is a distinction.
Okay, and that's based on that weighting that we've
about. Generally, if you get a distinction for D3, Wines of the World, you generally tend to get a distinction throughout because it's so heavily weighted.
Yeah.
You know, what you get for D3 is generally what you get overall.
That's the one everybody was very nervous about.
Yeah.
Because it is. It's like you do these little modules and then you've got, and now we're just going to cover all of the wines of the world.
Exactly. And then you look, if you were to print out the materials, because they're available electronically, but if you were to print them out, you have a very, very thick book.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't advise that because, you know, it's a forest or two. So.
Cool. Okay. And what's the pass rate?
So in terms of how many students pass?
Yes.
Well, that depends from year to year, but... And from unit to unit. So, for example, the most recent examiner's report I've been looking at was for October 2021. And for D3, because I think that's one most people are interested in, for D3, for the theory part, so we have theory and tasting, and you have to pass both to get D3. If you fail one part, you can come back again and take it. You don't have to do it all together. But theory tends to be the biggest problem for students. And for this particular exam, the overall pass rate was 59%.
Oh, that's quite high.
It's not bad, actually. It's been lower.
Yeah, when I did it, 40% was the pass rate.
Was it? Yeah, that's good.
But that might have been just me dragging them down.
You did that badly.
So badly, I dropped it by 20% over the world.
And then for tasting, they tend to do a lot better, actually. So 83%. So at WSET School London, we do pretty well as well. A bit above the global average. Definitely tasting is stronger than theory.
Mm, the same as level three, isn't it? Most people pass. I always tell people it's really hard to fail the level three tasting exam, but it's really hard to do really well on it as well. So
yeah, I think, you know, like last academic year, we had, I think, around 90% pass with the tasting for WSET School London. So, you know, yeah, it's not something that we worry about too much, but it is the part of the exam that consumes students a lot. I think they think that is more a measure of success, is how well you can taste.
Yeah.
And I don't think that they necessarily neglect the theory side of things, but I think there's so much to learn for theory that it's actually harder in that respect.
Mm. Yeah, no, exactly. And also, I think one of the reasons students get a little bit nervous about tasting is because if you've been to university or even at high school, you know, you've done lots of theory exams.
Yeah.
But a lot of people aren't really practiced on how they taste.
That's very true. And there's a lot of psychology around blind tasting. And even though it's not the main aim, as you know, for level three, the main aim is not to identify the wine, that you get most of your marks through writing just an accurate assessment of what's in the glass. But still, you see students at the end of the exam talking to each other, what do you think it was? You know, what was the region? What was the grape variety? And if they got it right, then they think they've done very well. But actually,
it doesn't matter. And also, you get some students. I had an exam a while ago where we gave someone a Cru Classé Bordeaux, and he wrote the most beautiful taste note for an entry-level Beaujolais.
Yeah,
it was just a beautiful Beaujolais note. I mean, if he'd had Beaujolais, he would have aced it, but it wasn't what he was tasting.
This is the thing, isn't it? You can get so fixated when you're doing an exam, and you make so many... It's so easy to make mistakes. But, I mean, on the other hand, I see students who write great notes, identify the wine wrong, but actually their note is still really accurate. So, you know, it works both ways, isn't it? But, yeah, it's. I think, like you say, we're not used to tasting as part of being tested academically. So it's a new thing, and people do get quite fixated on it.
A lot of the exams, as you said, have made up of two components. There's a theory exam and a tasting exam. D1 and D2, the production and winemaking, it's just theory.
Yeah, so they're both theory and open response questions, and they'll have about three questions and a limited time frame to answer those questions. They can be from anything that's in the materials that are published by WSET Global. So, yeah, so that's D1 and D2. So that is wine production and wine business. Then for D3, D4 and D5, there's a tasting element. So as I said, for D3, you have two separate exams, and there's on separate days. So the first day is the theory exam and the second day is the tasting exam. And if you pass one, that's it, you've passed it. You don't have to worry about doing it again. And then for D4 and D5, the exam is combined for each one, so not together. So D4, you would have the tasting and the theory at the same time. So you'd be presented with a paper so which would have the questions for the theory and also an answer sheet for your for your tasting. So it's up to you. You've got an hour and a half, so 45 minutes for each part, really, to taste and to write your theory answers.
Oh, that's dangerous. And the reason I tell you it's dangerous is because I always thought the reason at level three we always had to do the tasting exam first and then the theory is because if you did it the other way around, you just sit in the room drinking it. If you decide that's a really nice wine, you just go, I'll have more number two, please, more number two, and you just neck it. Whereas if you're doing a sparkling wine, you do your theory first, do your tasting, you've got 20 minutes to go, you go, oh, I think that was a champagne, I'll have loads of that, and you can pour it, clunk, clunk, clunk.
Yeah, I mean, I do think we do pour more for sparkling than we do for fortified. I have noticed that. But I do think, yeah, we do actually suggest that you taste after you do the theory, purely for sparkling, though, because it tends to be that the wine actually warms up a little bit in the glass and it helps to be a bit more expressive. So I find that's quite helpful just from an exam point of view. But, yeah, I have noticed when there have been particularly nice sparkling wines, a few students have clocked onto that. Luckily, we tend to have quite a lot in the exam hall, so we don't run out.
Oh, just on that, you mentioned the wines warm up. Do you not serve all the wines at room temperature?
Well, we do, apart from sparkling, because sparkling it would be a little bit hazardous to open them at room temperature.
True. Okay, then, Lauren, I think we'll wrap it up there. Thank you very much.
Okay.